This is the Paula Gordon Show. I'm Paula. Bill Russell and I are with Dr. Barry Beatty. We were talking about, so why didn't that disease make it to Asia?
Well, there are a variety of theories, but since I work mainly on mosquitoes, we thought that maybe the vector competence or the ability of mosquitoes in Asia was less than the ability of mosquitoes in Africa and the New World to become infected with and to transmit these viruses. Indeed, we were able to show that there were genetic differences and that the Asian mosquitoes were a bit more resistant. Now, there's probably a lot of other factors going on. But we followed up on this in recent years and are looking at what we call the breeding structure of mosquitoes in terms of how dengue is transmitted in the Americas. as I mentioned, the mosquito is back with a vengeance. All four serotypes of dengue are here. And indeed, what happened in Southeast Asia in the 60s and so forth with the emergence of dengue hemorrhagic fever has been sort of mirrored here in the New World. We now have all four viruses, and we, through marvelous molecular epidemiologic techniques, we can show that new viruses are being introduced, presumably by air travel. They get established in these cycles, and a number of them are more virulent. And so anyway, all this increased virus transmission, all four serotypes, all of it leads to hyperendemicity and more DHF here.
DHF.
Dengue hemorrhagic fever. But one of the things that we're interested in is there are areas that it seems that there are mosquitoes and yet no dengue. And so we've got a major collaborative effort going on with colleagues in Mexico at the University of the Yucatan, at the University of Nuevo León in Monterrey, and the Instituto Politécnico in Mexico, looking at Aedes aegypti, the vector of dengue in these areas, and characterizing genes that allow these mosquitoes to be good vectors, and looking at how the mosquito moves. You know, if you go in and try to control, or in the face of an epidemic, or indeed just any mosquito control, how do these mosquitoes traffic and where do they go? And so we're using what we call mosquito genomics, sort of an offshoot of all the human genome work, same sort of approaches to develop genetic markers for mosquitoes, that seem to be better vectors and so forth. And the intent is if we can identify ones that pose undue risks, that maybe we can focus and target control efforts in these specific areas. You know, in environments or societies where there's not a lot of resources, if you can marshal them and focus them, you've done a significant thing in terms of public health. We're also looking at viruses. We have a major, in the same thing, we're looking at the viruses and trying to define viruses that are more associated with the severe manifestations and indeed also be able to focus resources there.
The genetic approach seems to me, here I am naive again, isn't that opening up a new way to think about this?
There have been lots of efforts at genetic control, of putting in more resistant vectors and so forth, maybe substituting them for another population. There's a lot of research and thinking in this area. And obviously there are enormous problems associated with these, both in terms of the biology of the transmission cycle and biopolitical problems are things that need to be overcome. But, you know, I think that indeed we have lost the battle with mosquitoes in many ways. You know, we living here in North America with air conditioning and screens and television and primetime television, we're not exposed to a lot of this, but in many parts of the world, it is really, really a problem.
I had never thought of the nightly news as a
preventative of medical.
Preventative. Yeah. Well, actually, that's not my thought. It's a thought of Dr. Bill Reeves, who sort of is the dean of all arbovirology.
Well, it's interesting you say that because, you know, in some ways, I mean, we know a great deal about mosquitoes. They are, you know, they're fairly, seem vulnerable. I mean, you slap one and it dies.
Yeah.
And we know where they breed. You know, and we have this. Now, obviously, an understanding of just how lethal and destructive they can be. And we have all these wonderful technologies, and we're humans, after all. Why can't we win this battle?
And you say we've lost.
Well, in certain areas, we certainly have. I mean, the resurgence of malaria is probably the biggest example.
Like? What?
Well, I mean, it's back to an absolutely catastrophic situation in West Africa, in parts of Africa, with, as I mentioned, the pesticide resistance in the mosquitoes, the drug resistance in parasites. You know, the new anti-malarials are probably too expensive to ever be widely used in public health campaigns in Africa.
Didn't you say that something like a quarter of the children in West Africa have malaria now?
Oh, well, the malaria is very, very prevalent. What I said is there's very high fatality rate in children in many, many areas of Africa. And
when you say Africa now, we're no longer isolated. If you're going to have a disease in Africa, you're going to have it in Asia, and you're going to have it in Argentina.
Well, we're all part of the same.
Your colleague, C.J. Peters, introduced us, and I'm sure other people have done it, to the concept of airport malaria.
Sure.
You know, the
say more about airport malaria.
Gets on the airplane.
Mosquitoes, it's pretty remarkable. You know, they can get into the wheel wells, et cetera, on planes or even in the cabin, and they get whisked around the world. And if they're infected with a malaria parasite, they can establish these or cause infections around the area.
Should I be scared by this?
Oh, no. I think you've got screens and air conditioning and so forth. But, I mean, it can happen. It really can. And then if it's a pathogen like West Nile virus, you know, maybe that's how West Nile made its ingress. Nobody really knows yet. But, of course, most of the cases were occurring was fairly near to an airport. And there's a lot of good people looking at this now, trying to figure out how West Nile virus did get introduced into New York City. But certainly one valid hypothesis is that an infected Culex mosquito got caught in or got into an airplane well system or whatever in Israel and ended up in New York. Whenever people look at airplanes in terms of mosquitoes being trafficked in this regard, Culex are very abundant.
That's a kind of a mosquito.
Yeah. Now, when you say abundant, you mean inside the airplanes? I mean,
of the ones that when they are found, they're usually the most prevalent species. But anopheles are certainly in there too, leading to the airport malaria thing. But you know, so things can move around. We're not an island. Well, anyway, I think the issue with malaria is, you know, there's literally millions of children dying a year in Africa, and it's resurgent in parts of the world where it was very well controlled, and a lot of this is due to pesticide resistance development in the mosquitoes. It's my opinion that pesticide resistance and DDT specifically, that the resistance didn't arise from public health usages. DDT was used in agriculture and so forth, and I suspect, and I think a lot of people say that you know, that's probably where most of the resistance arose. But
I asked Bill some time back. I said, "Well, DDT kills bird eggs, weakens the shells on bird eggs, and has all sorts of deleterious effects that hadn't been anticipated." And I think a lot of people remember Silent Spring and the and there were all of these. And yet, this is not a settled issue, because if you have a population at risk somewhere in the world and you need to kill a lot of mosquitoes, so these competing values are not trivial.
Oh no, and you know, DDT was it was a marvelous control mechanism. I mean, it was inexpensive. It worked very well. And you know, in mosquito control, most of it was associated with spraying in homes. So when the mosquito would come in, she would land on the wall and be exposed to it and die. It wasn't massive spraying out in the environment, and like trying to control for crops and so forth. And certainly the other chemical alternatives to DDT are, almost all of them are much more expensive, have shorter half-life or, you know, effective life in their use. And point in fact is the mosquitoes are becoming resistant to most of those too.
You said we lost the battle. You didn't say we lost the war.
No.
presumably that's what you're doing, is to make sure the next, well, as we continue this engagement, that we don't continue to lose. What are the strategies?
When we come back to the Paula Gordon Show with Dr. Barry Beatty. Bill Russell and I are with him in Taos, New Mexico. But Dr. Beatty works at Colorado State University. Let's come back and talk about that war in just a moment, please.